craft company is moving to Israel and they're going to call it Cheeses of Nazareth. You know, what if there's some that's an old Manhattan Man joke that I like to bring out every once in a while.
Well, that sucks.
I think it sucks too. Even if my credit is crap, it may have something to do with the fact that I don't have a job.
It mm-hmm. monitors what people tweet or post on Facebook and compiles social graphs that are used creditcard.com to decide whether or not you'd be a good credit customer.
Wow. Cool.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And this is episode 124 of the award-winning, foot-stomping, show-stopping podcast of record, Countless Screaming Argonauts.
Sounding better if you're drunk.
Yep. Today is January 25th, 2010. And I'm going to start out with a call about beer or interest, an article about beer.
Okay. I have one in my hand.
Do you? I wish I did. I wish I could say the same, but I don't.
Don't tell me all of that.
There's three bottles of Blue Canary left, and two of them have your name on them.
All right. Somehow, the college boy managed to get from there to Ithaca without seeing me.
Well, it didn't work out the way I had planned to. You know, our hope was that he was going to be bringing it over.
Right.
But then he didn't leave from here. He left from his girlfriend's house after he spent the day there the day before he left. And so it just didn't work out.
Because I like
driving
around
with beers in the car. I felt bad enough having him taken back. But we'll work on it. Don't worry about it.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
So anyway, some leading experts, paleontological, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Have found evidence showing that man was making beer at least 9,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is something new that they didn't think that was there. But
I had an anthropology teacher who said every society that humans have ever had has made beer.
They also found evidence that early man relied on beer for rituals and medicinal purposes. And, you know, to me, nothing makes me feel better than a nice cold one.
A beer ritual. Well, I mean, we're still having beer rituals now.
Sure.
We're about to have our major beer ritual of the year, if you think about it.
Right, absolutely. Including watching the Super Bowl commercials about beer.
About beer, absolutely. So, yeah, I think psychologists, psychiatrists, maybe even social workers will tell you that some people medicate themselves with beer.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sure.
It's not an outrageous concept anyway.
Yeah, and I guess this guy also found out that they use beer to help them make bread. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had any beer bread? It's quite good.
Well, I know that people have called it liquid bread for a long time.
Right. But, I mean, it helps in the bread-making process. It helps. It helps make a really, really much better
bread. Oh, to put beer actually in the bread?
Yes, yeah. And that's what he found, that humans were, even though they were just beginning to cultivate plants, they were using beer to help them make bread.
And that's interesting. The process is so similar, I guess it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, yeast, right?
But the whole thing about sanitation, I mean.
Well, yes, you're right. And speaking from an experience, in today's world, that's real important. But I'm guessing that the beer that they made, you know, even if it wasn't the sanitary conditions that might be needed, it still had alcohol.
Well, no. My point is exactly the opposite. The reason that people needed beer was because the water was unsanitary. And the making of the beer killed the germs that were necessary to kill in order
Why would you think that the water was unsanitary?
In England in the Middle Ages?
Yeah, but we're talking about 10,000 years ago that this is not...
They didn't have indoor plumbing 10,000 years ago either.
Right, but I mean the streams that they drank from were pristine. There was no cars or factories to spew the deadly...
Yeah, but I'm talking about...
Earth-warming...
fecal coliform bacteria.
Right.
Where were they pooping, and was it getting into their water system? I don't know, but I know in the Middle Ages...
Oh, sure, absolutely, right. People drank beer. In the United States, when the United States was first being born,
right,
people drank beer. Pirates drank rum for the same reason.
Yeah. Do you suppose it's possible that 10,000 years ago, in the earliest human enclaves, that the water was more sanitary than it was 500 years ago in Northampton?
Yes.
In England?
Yes.
That's it?
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, because you can, today, you and I can walk into the woods and find a stream and drink from it.
Sure.
And get relatively clean water. Mm. Okay? Right. Well, 10,000 years ago, all you had was animals and stuff. You had none of the other pollutants.
And
there would have been less animals. I mean, you know, dinosaurs are bigger, but they weren't around at that point.
No, but there was no clean water in London. They were, you know, all the shit was going into the Thames. Right. Which, think about the Ganges now.
Sure, same thing. Sure.
Yeah. How do you get sterile water? Anything to drink? What do they drink? I forget the name for Bombay now, the politically correct name, or wherever the Ganges runs through.
I don't know.
That river is full of filth. You get sick going in it.
I mean, the images of all these Haitian people drinking plastic bottles of water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what's going on.
Well, it's different on an island, too, because they can't just go out and, you know, drink the ocean.
Right. So, listen, moving forward. Moving forward from beer.
Don't say moving forward. Say anything but moving forward.
Okay.
Say next.
Next. Next on the agenda.
Okay.
You and I have many times talked about the social networking issue of, like, Facebook and Twitter and people who use that to maybe not grant somebody a job fire somebody.
One of the rules of the Countless Screaming Argonauts game is you will lose your job if you put it on Facebook.
Absolutely. Well, listen, there's now a company out in San Francisco called RapLeaf that, are you ready for this? It monitors what people tweet or post on Facebook and compiles social graphs that are used by creditcard.com to decide whether or not you'd be a good credit customer.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Just
so now, not only can you lose your job, but you can not get your credit card.
Yeah, well, and they're becoming increasingly tied. You have to apply, you have to allow people to check your credit score when you're applying for work.
Yeah.
Which I find highly offensive.
Sure.
Even if my credit is crap, it may have something to do with the fact that I don't have a job.
Right, rather than some kind of social thing.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. They're checking out your friends, and they're finding out the people who are in your networks, and they're using that as one of the deciding points for credit.
So if your tweets say Republican more often than they say Democrat?
Well, I don't know. The article doesn't go into what that all means, but jeepers, you know?
Yeah, well, it begs the question, what's a credit-worthy tweet? You know, if you say Bernanke often enough, do you get a card?
That would be one question. The other one, and this is the only thing that the credit card companies commented on, was that having a wide network of friends can expedite getting you a loan, while discrepancies between your loan application and your Facebook notations could raise red flags. Negative comments about your business might impact your creditworthiness.
Wow, so you really got to be careful what you put out there.
And we said that from the get-go?
It is the song of the countless screaming Argonauts, for sure.
It is.
Yeah.
Let me see. I got another one here. This one I thought was real interesting. In the United States, one of five people carry a organ donor card. In Britain, one in four people carry it. But in Israel, it's one in ten people. That's creating problems for them. And so Israel is going to become the first country in the world
to buy organs.
No, it will give donor card carriers a legal right to priority treatment.
Hmm.
So basically, what they're saying is that if you sign an organ donor card and you have it in your possession for a year, that you will, if you need one, be moved up the list ahead of people who don't have signed organ donor cards.
For receiving organs.
For receiving, but that also includes your domestic partners and close relatives.
Huh.
Now, they said the only thing that would change, that wouldn't change, would be that patients who require urgent transplant because of a serious condition would continue to have a priority.
Yeah.
But if there was one organ and two people and both qualified for it, the person with the organ donor card would get the priority.
Well, I guess that makes sense. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. But it is a step closer to selling organs, is it not? You're just not setting a price for it. You're setting a task for it.
Yeah, but the task is donating organs.
Right.
Yeah, I see your point, but I don't think so. I think it's still too far removed from it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that Israel is 1 in 10, because I would have thought that they were a very progressive socialist kind of country. But there's also that whole conservative culture. You know, in a lot of ways, conservative Christians in this country, conservative Muslims throughout the Middle East, and conservative Jews have the same sort of mindset going on.
In a really weird sort of way, yeah, you're right.
It's about, you know, getting back to what God wants. And
right.
In each case, they know what God wants, and, you know, they're advocating that. And so, you know, it's not surprising that, because I'm sure there's something in the Bible about, you know, don't give your ear to Jim.
Right, right.
Thou shalt not sleep with a goat or donate your eyes.
Right. In the article also, the one other thing in the article that I found real interesting was that in one of the reasons why Britain's rate is so good,
yeah,
is that they work almost like in a backward sort of way. In Britain, you have to indicate that you don't want your organ to be transplanted.
So it's passively applied.
Right. But, well, I mean, that's still really great. I mean,
but Britain is intellectually more progressive, more liberal, more advanced than America. I mean, Britain is home to Charles Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a growing conservative religious movement in Britain, and it's stressing out some liberals.
Well, speaking of a growing conservative movement, we might as well talk about the Supreme Court's decision this past week. I know that you were particularly excised by it, and I have to admit I don't quite fully understand all of the ramifications of it, but I do know I don't like it.
Well,
and I do know, having seen what you have written about it, I understand why you shouldn't like it. So, take a swipe at it.
Well, I guess the basic thing, as I understand it, and unlike Rush Limbaugh, I don't claim full knowledge. I haven't read the Supreme Court decision, but I get the gist of it from the news articles. It says that corporations can now, and in effect changing 40 or 140, depending on who you talk to, 120 years of standing law, donate, no, that's not technically correct. It's contribute. It's not even contribute. They're not allowed to give unlimited amounts of money. I was going to say donate money in unlimited amounts to candidates. That's not technically true. What they can do is spend unlimited amounts of money on behalf of candidates that they want.
Right.
And the argument comes up, the United States has given billions of dollars to companies like AIG, which they now possess and can manipulate. And one of the things that they would be allowed to do with it under the new Supreme Court ruling is advocate for people to vote against the people who want them to pay the money back.
Right.
and that seems apparently insane. There's a Supreme Court decision, which I have quoted in my blog, and I don't have the paperwork right in front of me. I don't want to dig it out. It's 1886 Santa Fe Railroad decision that assumes in the preamble of the decision, that that corporations are legal persons.
Right.
And there are some people, including myself, who have always had a problem with this, because corporations have the advantage of immortality, which is a distinct advantage, particularly if you want to take someone to court.
Right, sure.
So corporations, in my opinion, should be limited. They have huge advantages over human beings, plus they aren't actually people.
Right.
And Lincoln said, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we all went, yay. And we all think that the government should be of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, the Wall Street Journal said, this is a great day for free speech. Mitch McConnell, on the Sunday talk show, Meet the Press, said, this is a great day for free speech. Now, a corporation that owns a broadcasting outlet doesn't have any more power than a corporation that doesn't own a broadcasting outlet. And I said, talk to me about people. I kept listening,
right.
And he never mentioned the word human being. People. And
right.
To me, it's patent insanity to allow, first of all, corporations to be legal people. And secondly, to allow them to give as much money as they want in defense of a political candidate.
Right. Well, the thing that was the thing that you wrote that got me up in arms, or at least concerned,
yeah.
Was the fact that, if I understand this correctly, first the bank goes out of is almost going out of business, and so the government takes my money,
right,
my tax money, and gives it to the bank, and says, this is to help you not go out of bankruptcy, or, you know, whatever.
Not to go into bankruptcy. So that you can continue to lend and the economy can continue to move.
Right. And then the bank turns around and takes that money and buys Super Bowl commercials saying that we shouldn't support Obama's plan to tax banks. In other words, to get them to pay back the money that we
loaned
them. That we loaned them. And right. I'm sure they'll do it with fancy graphics and, you know, sexy women and flashy cars and everything else that's there.
That they've now mastered the ability to market.
Right. So that the sheeps out there will say, oh, we don't want them to tax the bank because that'll make the economy get sour or whatever. And,
right.
And not even realize that the banks have both of their hands in my pocket.
Right. That scenario is entirely possible, the way I understand it.
Well, that sucks.
I think it sucks, too. It's not only that, but I heard one politico, I don't remember which one it was, say, what about, I forget the term, sub-companies that are located in other countries.
Right, right.
You know, Kraft Company is moving to Israel, and they're going to call it Cheeses of Nazareth. You know, what if there's some... That's an old Manhattan Man joke that I like to bring out every once in a while.
That's a good one. That's
but
good
what
one
if, you know? What if some Israeli company is lobbying on behalf of, you know, Israeli Defense League or something?
Sure.
Or the Saudis come in here with some oil connected lobby and start saying, really, what we need to do is raise the price of oil or whatever.
Right. Oh, sure. Supporting any one of those cartel ideas or whatever is
if you're a Saudi, well, actually that's a good question. If you're a Saudi person, can you give to an American political candidate?
I don't know. If you're hidden as the owner of a corporation, I would say that based on this Supreme Court ruling, the answer would be yes.
Yeah.
Because you're not a person anymore; you're a company.
But I mean, so I think it's wrong because of the extent of it, and it's the original usurpation. And I've been told, and I've read, that interpretation is wrong. That the court never stated, as a matter of policy, that corporations are legal people. But it's assumed. It's just the way it is. It's accepted law.
Right.
And there is a preface in that case that says we're not debating whether or not corporations have standing to sue, basically, are legal people. We assume that. And I just think what we need is a constitutional amendment that says you're not allowed to give money to a political candidate unless you are a person. And I don't think that's outrageous.
Yeah, I sort of agree. I sort of agree with that.
And the other side, the thing that drives the Republicans crazy about the Democratic money raising is money from unions. And I don't have as big a problem as unions because unions are made up of people. But I'm willing to concede the point that a union is not a human being either, even though it's a collection of humans, in the same way that a corporation is not a human. But let's just keep our politics to actual persons in being, human beings, and I think we'd be better off.
You know, another issue with this, I think, could also be something that you've talked about before. What about if you work for a company but you don't support their politics?
You have to be very careful.
You know, I know. And that, to me, that also raises some eyebrow.
Well, yeah. You can be fired for cause, but you can't be fired for your political point of view. But you got to... That's a tough case to make in court.
Sure. When I read your blog the last several times when you've been commenting on this whole thing, one thing that I thought is that in some ways this is going to really put social networking to the test.
Hope so.
Because if you were – let's just say that you became aware of a company – you know, say a company like McDonald's decides that they're going to support some kind of bill for whatever reason, because it lets them make their French fries cheaper or whatever.
There's a whole mad cow consideration in beef importing laws.
Right. I think that with social networking being where it's going or where it's headed right now, I could see a situation where if you got enough people to Twitter about, you know, McDonald's doing this and to boycott them, that you could probably actually make a difference.
Yeah, it takes some sophistication to manipulate the intertubes, and I'm not that good at it. But while we're at it, may I say www.8minutesonhigh.com.
Okay, sure.
In case anybody wants to go out there and read my rantings about this research.
There's also a link to it off of our podcast webpage.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
And Mrs. Fab P's new blog, which
is also there, yeah.
You can read, and your blog and your son's blog as well.
Yeah. But we are just a blog happy family.
Well, you know what? I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with self-promotion, obviously. But just generally, I'm in favor of literate people. Well, and I'm not trying to brag, but, you know, there's an awful lot of sad excuses for language out there.
Sure. Well, look, we're getting to the end here. I have one more quickie that I want to talk about, and I know you got some jokes to send us out on a bright note.
All right.
So before we get to that, let me just tell you that I read this article about the Jemez Indians in New Mexico, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
And they are on the verge.
And why would we be talking about New Mexico, perhaps?
Well, actually, it was not found that way, not because I'm retiring there, but I just noticed the connection that it was in New Mexico. There's 3,000 members of the tribe.
Okay.
And they're on the verge of building. And when you say that, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Casino.
Right. No, they're not. They're on the verge of building the nation's first utility-scale solar plant on their land.
Cool.
It's a project that they feel can bring in millions of dollars. They're getting $22 million in financing from federal government.
Great.
And on a 30-acre site, they are putting up 14,850 solar panels.
Now, are they going to be for turning photons into electrons, or are they going to be mirrors to heat up water?
No, these are solar panels. That's all it says. So I believe it's the electronic.
Right.
The electric ones. Those, in its first setting, it's going to be able to crank out enough electricity to power 600 houses. And it could bring in $25 million over the next 25 years.
Great. I believe I've mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again. I heard a story that said that there's enough heat in the desert that if we had enough mirrors and enough PVC pipe and copper wire, we could make hot water to turn enough turbines to create enough electricity just from the desert to run the entire country.
To me, that makes absolutely perfect sense.
I can't believe I never hear about it again. It was on NPR. It was the fall of last year, and it seems like a great idea. So yay for these Indians.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, basically the tribal leaders say that they have an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done before, and I think that's wonderful. I really do. I just like that whole idea.
Well, you know, there's a project that they've started in Israel that is, I think, dovetails with this perfectly, because I think eventually we're going to go to these huge systems of electricity generation, and that's going to go with the electric car, and there's not going to be filling stations. There's going to be battery swap stations where you can pick up a charged battery or 12 charged batteries or whatever,
and put them in your car
like a fill-up, and you leave your uncharged battery at the charging station, and you go on your way, and everybody – I mean, we have the sun. This is an unlimited supply of electricity. Why not have electric cars?
Right. Well, what I was going to say to you is this might be the ultimate recession-proof product.
Of course.
Even in recession, you know, in recessions, gambling loses money.
Right.
Not as many people have that kind of discretionary income. Yeah, of course, the hardcore or the addicted gambler certainly are not going to be affected by it one way or another. But I think in general, they are affected by this. But everybody uses power. Everybody uses electricity.
And they always will. We're still going to need energy.
And until the sun burns out.
It's free.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think you should shout it from the rooftops. I think more and more people need to think about this. It seems so obvious to me. You know, if I was a billionaire, all of a sudden I sound like Bill Clinton. If I was a billionaire, I'd be out there building
myself. Bill Gates. If you were Bill Gates, wouldn't you just take a billion of your dollars and do that?
Absolutely.
I mean, you got 68 of them.
What's one? 1/68th of your wealth.
$1 billion.
And especially since it's bound to make money. And you know what else I would do? I would buy the Tesla Corporation. I've got a couple of jokes that I have appropriated from my old college roommate.
And as a contribution to our inappropriate jokes.
No, it was just stuff he sent to me that our inappropriate humor episodes made him think of. And Kevin, if you're out there, howdy. I'm going to repeat your jokes. I'm not going to give the whole top 10 list of things men shouldn't say out loud in Victoria's Secret, but I am going to give you a few of them.
Okay, go.
Will you model this for me? Never should say that in Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
One size fits all? What? No, I'm sorry. The size won't matter. She's inflatable. Shouldn't say that. I'll be in the dressing room going blind. No thanks, just sniffing.
Oh.
And the worst thing, this is number 10 on the list, but to me this is the worst thing you could say in Victoria's Secret. Does this come in children's sizes? All right.
Man, that's bad.
Number 2 on the list. This young priest was raised in a monastery and has never been outside. The abbot arranges for him to run errands in town so the priest can become more accustomed to the outside world. One day the young priest gets lost, wanders into the red light district, and hears all sorts of things there. When he gets back, he's brimming with questions. The first person he sees is Sister Mary Catherine. "Sister Mary Catherine," he exclaims, "what's a blowjob?" And she replies, $10, same as downtown. All right. And here's the one that I absolutely had to repeat. A penguin is driving down the highway. Picture Route 17 in New York.
Okay.
Suddenly the car starts making a loud grinding noise. The penguin drives off an exit, gets to a small town where there's a service station and a few other small businesses. The mechanic takes a quick look and tells him to come back in an hour so he can figure out what's wrong. Penguin walks around and finds an ice cream stand where he gets a cone. Then he wanders over to the supermarket, parks himself in the frozen food section, and eats his ice cream. Does some people watching. After an hour, he hops out, goes back to the service station. The mechanic is under the hood of the car. When he sees the penguin walk into the garage, he says, "Looks like you blew a seal." And the penguin wipes his mouth and says, "Oh no, that's just ice cream."
Ah, yes, a penguin joke.
Mm-hmm. When I heard it, I had to make sure that I paid it forward.
All right. Well, I think on that note,
we ought to call it a day.
Call this a day, yes.
All right.
So it's a day.
It's a day.
Max, you have a good night.
You have a good night, too. And
we'll talk to you soon.
Keep praying for electricity.
Okay.
Bye. Of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming.